Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I just read the 23rd number psalm. Amen.
Thank you for reading
there.
Right now, here in Chicago, we're talking about the kids. They're got shot at the school down on the first street. And I said it earlier in the year that we need machines in that school to protect them that they have, and we need that. I said that, and I still say it again that we need those kind of machines to protect our kids when we're in after John. Two kids were shot coming out of school today, and it's the assault weapons have to be stopped. Because what's going on in Chicago, all over the country, that this going on. But this is the kind of stuff that happens. We have to do something to stop them, we have to come together. Stop these assault weapons that are accused of being killed. We need, like in the little court, you got those detectives, you be on the plane, that's what we need in these schools. But they just got a kid that in the fifth grade with a pistol in his backpack. No way they're getting out of these guns from, but they bring them to school. We just talked about Sandra Hicks and all the kids got killed. And Congress got to do something to stop this killing. going on black on black. Kids being killed at school. You sit in the school, you're like sending them to Vietnam and Korea. That's some of the stuff that happens. We've got to do something to try to stop the onslaught of killing of other kids. Definitely. It's going on in our city. I think the most important thing is about the killing that's going on in the country with these kids. I think that's the important thing that we have to do. Stop the killing of these kids. We keep shooting and killing each other. We got to do something to stop it. We have to do
$1 trillion flow. From L.A. to Miami, Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago.
This is Friday night, the $1 trillion vote night. We're talking about the money. We're talking about the economics of our neighborhood. And all across the world, we're talking about the $1 trillion vote. We're talking about money. We're talking about what it takes. You where you're able to do some things. Number one, and we talk about the $1 trillion floor tonight, we talk about people that need jobs. That's the thing I always say. If you don't have a job, you're less than a man or a woman. So when I get into the $1 trillion floor, I want to talk about the lack of jobs and opportunities in our community. We got to deal with that, what's going on.
$1 trillion flow. From L.A. to Miami. Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, Alabama, Texas. $1 trillion flow.
Oh.
Maybe you in Atlanta, Georgia. Maybe you in down in California. Maybe you in Texas. Maybe you in New York. Maybe you in Florida. Maybe you in Canada, but you in the $1 billion world. Maybe you in St. Paul, Minnesota. Indianapolis, Indiana, we're talking about the $1 billion flow. It's going on up in New York and Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on, the $1 billion flow. Down in Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Phoenix, Las Vegas, New York. We're calling for the $1 billion flow. I see you to rise up and be brilliant. Say I'm rich, because I'm in the $1 billion flow. I am the original man. I am the original woman. I must have my respect. I must have my education. I must have $1 billion. I must be rich. I must lift my brothers and sisters out of the ghetto and out of poverty. I'm in the $1 billion flow. Get what I want. Have what I want. I can get it now. Right now. Tell somebody I'm in the $1 billion flow. Look at somebody. So I'm in the $1 billion flow on my job. I'm in the $1 billion flow in my business. I'm in the $1 billion flow. Why don't you get in the flow of the billionaire? The trillionaire.
Thank you. realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are...
People don't care who
Like relationships don't work between black people, racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated, racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive, racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in, racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think, racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion
from L.A.
flow
to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama.
Thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He maketh me.
Yeah.
to lie down in green pasture.
Yes.
He leadeth me beside the still water.
Yes.
He restoreth my soul.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
He restoreth my soul.
Yes.
Yea, though I walk
yes.
through the valley of the shadow of death,
yes.
I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Yes. My Lord.
Isn't it so?
Yes.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Yes.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Yes.
Thou anointest my head
yes.
with oil.
Yes.
My cup runneth over.
Yes.
A very personal thing.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and His goodness.
Yes.
Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker.
Yes.
And I can't say anything in church.
Mm-hmm.
If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway.
Yes.
Yes. You ought to be able to say what God means to me.
Yes. Well,
the Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me.
Well,
if David was off of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences.
Yes, sir.
Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne.
Yeah.
Israel's first citizen, with a scepter of authority in his hand, the courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him.
Yeah.
And yet he takes a retrospect back down the vista of the past and began to think about those things that brought him over.
Yeah.
Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies?
No,
sir. It had been the Lord. Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from the obscurity of the dry and barren hills of Judah. To the throne of Israel. Here's a man who come up from the unknown and have faced the fear of giant Goliath outside in the town of Succoth at the Valley of Elah with the soldiers of Israel arrayed on one mountain and the soldiers of the Philistines arrayed on the other. And this man who had been decorated for his valor and bravery was walking between the mountains, exclaiming in loud tones of profanity, or exclaiming profanity against the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. You know how he requested audience with the king, and how he started out with Saul's own helmet on his head, Saul's own sword in his hand, Saul's own shield on his arm. But having no experience and training in this kind of a thing, he took them back and requested only his strength and God. You know the victory that he brought to Israel. And when he went marching back to the capital, the women along the way composed a new song. Saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. You know the jealousy that this aroused in Saul. And how Saul sought to kill him. And how he had to run and hide. And one day when There were a company of men coming in from the south.
Yes. Yes.
And another company closing in from the north.
Yes.
And another one from the east and another one from the west.
Yes.
And there was no escape for David.
Yes. Yes.
And God whispered to a spider.
Yes.
And told David to run in a cave.
Yes.
And told that spider to get busy.
Yes.
And web up that cave.
Yes.
And when the soldier got there,
yes,
God is my shepherd.
I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, but I shall not want. And the seed of Abraham.
For favor, this is my season to reap what I have sown. This is my season for grace, for favor. This is my season to reap what I have sown. See, I haven't been perfect, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know he's able. I've got a seed in the ground that he's blessing, no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing. I see for grace, for favor.
It only works when we all do it.
To do what?
To be what I have sown.
Come on, just say.
Problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding
not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Well, to move Martin out of it for a moment. Martin's very rare, very great man. Martin's rare for two reasons. Partly because just because he is. And because he's a real Christian and he really believes in nonviolence. He's right at something in himself.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. I am happy to join.
That was Dr. Martin Luther King talking about what's happening to the black man today. And as we get ready to talk about tonight, tonight is the $1 trillion flow. And it's about money. It's about economics. And it's about people giving us the reparation that we need. You might think that's not important. It's important when you take a whole race, take them from their homeland and work them, then kill them. So lots of people have been so Christian lives, Islamic lives, that they didn't forget about the racism and the white supremacy that happened to the black man. So tonight is the $1 trillion flow. Even when God told Moses to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, he told them first, get the reparation, the silver and gold, and carry it with you because your ancestors have worked for that. And the same thing here in America. So we want reparation. With the murder and the killing that's going on in this country, we got to deal with the racism and white supremacy going on in America. And the only way to deal with it is through the witty invention. We deal with it by us being involved in love for God, so loved the world he gave it unto God's Son. You know, if you don't understand, Dr. King said it, you can put it all on the paper that you're free. But you got to know that you're free. You got to know, see, the Jews got $1 million from America. And did you know that Hitler killed them people in Germany, not in America? So what I'm saying tonight, I'm asking the Jewish community to get together, go there and deal with Putin. Putin killing people, he's killing people more than Hitler did. We're dealing with white supremacy and racism in America right now. We're dealing we have to understand what's going on. I'm praying for you tonight, but we're talking about money. You know, if you live in the black community right now, they will redline you. If you buy a house, they'll come and praise it for less because you're black. So we got a lot to come, and Dr. King was talking about that we got a long ways to come. But when he went to Washington, he talked about, I have a dream. He talked about, see, the moral of is gone. There's nobody keeping up the moral of America. Ain't nobody keeping up with America. And that's very important, with the moral of America and the deal with America to open up. Now, Dr. King's birthday is coming up in the 15th of next month. And I was talking to Brother White about Mecca Evers that was in born right there in Fayette, Mississippi. And nobody said nothing about him, who he was, what he did. He was head of the NAACP. He got killed. He got murdered at an early age by the Ku Klux Klan. And you got to understand, the mass murder. One of the Klan members, because we ain't got to shoot black folks because they shoot each other. And tonight, as I come on the air, was a shooting down at a school. Two kids was killed and four went to hospital. There's so many grounds out here in America. What happened to Stanley Hook? P.L. Washington can pass a law for two men to get married. They ought to be able to pass a law to stop the assault weapons in this neighborhood, in these neighborhoods. It's important to see what Congress is doing. It's important to see what's happening. And that's important to see what's going on in this country. So, we're talking about what's going on. See, what's going on in that state. And that's the kind of thing that's happening in our community. And I want to say to you tonight that if you feel some kind of way and what's going on with the diseases going on, they're closing hospitals down. They're closing hospitals in Hammond, Indiana. Not hospital needed for folks, they're calling hospital. If you're going to do something, all the money they send over to Christ, I don't agree with sending that money over there to Christ. I don't agree with that. And that's some thing that is going on. And I'm saying tonight, we have to get ready to change. First, we have to make a change within ourselves. I got to bring Brother White on that. We went over the time because the computer was messing up. And I'm going to keep Brother White on, but we're talking about down in Fayette, Mississippi, getting ready to do something to bring people together for healing, and bring people together where they start killing each other and start to love each other and begin to build. We got to love self. If you don't love self, how are you going to love somebody else? We got to begin to love self. I got Brother White all the way from Fayette, Mississippi, if I can get him on. Computer keeps going in and out. I don't know if you hear me or not. Brother White, do you hear me? Brother White, I don't think I can get him. Brother White, I don't know if he on or not. Sometimes, you know, it's with the killing, with the praying for all the people. They had seven tornadoes in New Orleans at one time on the ground. And right now, down in Florida, they had storms and floods. So throughout the country, they ran floods and tornadoes. That's kind of stuff that's going on. Okay, Brother White. How can I get him? Brother White. I don't know. His phone might be messing up. Let me go let that team speak. And he's just going through something. Brother White.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, The life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination 100 years later. The Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity 100 years later. The Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content, we'll have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual.